This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank. Stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Yo, 1102, Saturday morning. Saturday Suckage, the Wake and Bake Club, calling everything to order because you're really going to need it. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. We will shepherd you through these three perilous hours, starting with the idea, Mark, the Cubs are doing their rebuild championship plan with X's. So they think that X's are the X's from Texas, because that's where Jake's associated. That's where he's from. The X's with Texas, and that's your road back to a championship with a guy projected to have an ERA over 5. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Steve. Yeah, now the plan is clear, because I was struggling to figure out and know what the Cubs were thinking, because I thought I knew what the Cubs were doing when they traded Yu Darvish, and to a lesser degree, I thought I kind of knew what they were doing when they let Kyle Schwarber dangle and then ultimately go, and now I guess we know what's going on. Oh, and then it got even more confusing when Jacques Peterson came in, but now that Jake Arrieta is back, it is clear. So what does that mean? Who's next? Who would be the next in that genre, that type of guy, to return to the Cubs that's not already gone? It's ruined for Lester. He's stuck in Washington. Schwarber is gone. He's stuck wherever. Wait, I forgot where Schwarber is. Oh, he's in Washington.
He's in Washington too. That's actually with David Martinez managing, you pretty much got Cubs Championship East there.
Yeah, who's out there? Who's still out there?
Well, Charlie Root.
Cubs.
You can bring back Charlie Root and have him talk about giving up whether Babe Ruth called a shot or not. So when you think about it, Arrieta, Greg Maddux, and Kerry Wood, that's a really good X's. That's a really good rebound boyfriend kind of rotation to start the rotation. That's what they're doing. They're bringing back guys who, it's just, how'd that all work out? Who have they picked up that worked out? What are your former players they picked up and worked out? Okay, so that even if you use a barometer, well, it didn't totally suck. Don't you expect to see, I don't know, Kerry Wood's kid's going to run out and hug Jake Arrieta when he comes off the mound sometime. I just don't have high hopes for Jake Arrieta. His stay in, if you look back at what he did in Philadelphia, when the Cubs decided they were going to pay Yu Darvish more total than they wanted to offer Jake Arrieta for whatever the thing was, that's what they did. Jake Arrieta started off in May and made everybody in Chicago management look silly when he had a 0.90 ERA in 5 May starts in 2018. He would finish his time in Philadelphia with a 4.36 ERA. Last year, 5.09. He was inconsistent. He was injured. And that's what the Cubs are bringing back with a guy who used to throw, 98? Is that what he was throwing? 98 to 100 when he pitched that epic game against Pittsburgh, that epic play wild card game? I mean, I know there were other games that he threw that were epic, but that one, that defines Jake Arrieta. That game, that night, gotta have it, and it was the full, he was the maestro. It was everything Jake Arrieta was about at that time and what the Cubs needed. He was that guy, and that's not the one you're getting. You're getting a guy who is now the hardest thrower in a rotation when he's down to 93. I don't know, what am I missing here? Is there some major part of pitching and production? What did you think when you saw this move? What do you think now, having given it some time?
All right, so a quick Jake, just as how good he was back in the day. I love telling this story. I talked to Craig Counsell one time, the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, when I was doing pre and post. I wandered over to the dugout, and this is when Jake Arrieta was, full on Jake Arrieta. And I just asked him the general question, what do you think about Jake Arrieta? And he said, when he has everything going, the hard slider, the curve, the 5 pitches, the fastball, everything, he says it could be straight up unfair. Like, it's just, his stuff is so good right now, and who knows how long it'll last. It's so good right now, it could be unfair because it's impossible to hit. I took that information back to Jake Arrieta. I sat with him in the Cubs dugout all alone, just Jake and I. I said, hey, Craig Counsell over there just said that it's unfair. Your pitchers are so good. And Arrieta looked at me and goes, well, he's right. He's right. It is. It can be unfair. So I do like to talk about, because we're all going to reminisce a little bit, and so that's the first thing that comes to mind. For me, there was a little bit of emotion involved, as I'm sure there was for lots of Cubs fans, because he was so great. What this move actually is right now is not of consequence, to be honest with you. I've been saying all along that, and I was serious at the beginning of the show when I said I don't know what direction the Cubs were going in. I thought I knew when they got rid of Darvish and Schwarber, but then I kind of didn't know when they brought in Jock Peterson. And then I said the next move of consequence will tell you in which direction the Cubs are going. This is not a move of consequence, as in this is not a guy at this point in his career, Jake Arrieta, unless there's another big turnaround to his career, that is not a top 3 starter at this point in his career. He is just like right now, like Zach Davies and Alec Mills, and to a much lesser degree, Edward Alzolay, he's a 4 or a 5 and maybe competing for those spots unless there is some gear in him or some health about him that we are not aware of. So this is a guy that's going to compete for a starting spot in the Cubs rotation for a relatively cheap price. And a lot of people think that, what, $6 million or whatever it is that he's getting this year, that's a lot. No, it's not. So it is not a move of consequence. It's fun to think of it that way and think about a rebound, but he slots as 4 or 5 right now.
Yeah, the X's with benefits, which is what the Cubs are looking for. I guess one of the benefits would be maybe Markey won't have such sucky. You'll have something to advertise on Markey, and maybe that's a draw. I don't know. All the, like you talked about, the feel good, the hugs, the Jake Arrieta hugs. There's that. Those stories remain. I know the one thing that was written in the last 24 hours, 12 hours about this is the guy that just exudes confidence no matter whether he's good or bad, whether he's hurt or healthy. He's always exuded confidence. I'm it. No one's going to set limits on me. Know nothing or whatever. Despite his being inconsistent and injured for much of the last 3 seasons. The other hope is that the Cubs turned him around once. He became that guy, that Cy Young Award winner, that ace, that best pitcher in baseball under the Cubs before. And maybe Tommy Hotovy has got all kinds of maybe he's got answers. It seems more like a handful of magic beans. This X's with benefits thing doesn't work for me because I don't think the Cubs have done it particularly well. And I think you might be wrong, Mark. This might be a move of consequence. It's $6 million. That's consequential to a Tom Ricketts budget that was tightened, that didn't want to pay for people, that maybe looking to dump Chris Bryant because they don't want to pay him whatever he's worth, maybe dump Wilson Contreras because they don't want to pay him actual dollars. So this might be a move of consequence. Did you ever think of that, Mark?
Well, if this is a move of consequence, and I will go back to saying that the Cubs won't even compete in their own division. And because if they don't add somebody better than what the blueprint is of Jake Arrieta right now, they're not. And the answer that everybody gives to me is, well, the division sucks. Yeah, and the Cubs are going to suck if they don't have somebody other that you can depend on. Like, maybe there's something left in I hope there's something left in Jake Arrieta. I like Jake Arrieta. I loved covering him. I like him personally. But Kyle Hendricks right now is the only guy who, when he goes out to the mound, you know the good that you're going to get. The rest of the staff, you have no idea. And Arrieta is number one with a bullet at this point. I mean, he goes ahead of Alec Mills and Zach Davies in terms of not knowing what you're going to get. So if this is it, if there is nobody else of consequence, then the Cubs are not going to be good this year. And no. I don't even know if that matters. Like, it's a weird year for the Cubs this year. This is the first time in a long time where it's impossible. Well, I don't say it's impossible because I'm kind of doing it right now, but it's difficult for fans to get a hold on what this team is. And I'm curious as to what fans think. Do they care going into this year? Do they like what's going on with the Cubs in terms of whatever it is, a transitional stage, because the old core just wasn't getting them back to the promised land? It's a strange spot. Even if the Cubs hadn't been in the so-called golden era of Cubs baseball, even if that hadn't been going on, it's always odd when you're heading into a year, even at this point, it's February, I get it, but not really knowing what your team is or not knowing how to predict it other than saying your division sucks. And that's not good when that's the best thing you have on your side is that the National League Central is down.
Yeah, I know the National League Central, the Cubs have gone from last year's division winner to waving at their rivals once Arenado showed up in St. Louis. Every team has pitching questions. And by the way, our texters, I didn't even give out the text number, 312-644-6767. You can get to the text line. You can text us there. That's also the number to call. Not that anyone calls the station, but if there is a breaking phone call, our producer, Stifler, Sean William Anderson, will let us know. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. So we have two suggestions about who would fill out the X's with benefits rotation. One was Carlos Zambrano recently. And the other one, I love this, Travis Wood.
Oh, yeah. Plus, you can put him in left field. You could throw him at first if you want. You know,
you, and he can, and Jake, he can pinch, can pinch hit. Yeah,
he and Jake can pinch hit. Yeah. Absolutely. This is the kind of all-purpose type of player that the Cubs need. They don't have Ben Zobrist anymore. So I think that this is the kind of guy that you need to have on your team. If David Ross has any pages left from the Joe Maddon managerial book, then I like that. I like
that.
Yeah,
and what about Jeff Samardzija? That's another suggestion.
Well, he wasn't part of the championship.
No, he wasn't, but he was still part of, you know, in recent times when you start looking at, because the Cubs have done this before. They've done it with your garden variety Russell. They've done it with Fergie Jenkins. Whatever they did, but I'm looking recently, and those names where they keep bringing them back, and it really is, it smacks of. Remember how you talked about, we don't like this lovable loser stuff?
Yeah.
Isn't this a lovable loser's move? Doesn't that feel like what happened before, where we let Greg Maddux go after he won his first Cy Young, and then he won a whole bunch more and won a World Series and won playoff games, and we brought him back after he did all that Hall of Fame stuff, and here you go. Here's Greg Maddux. I guess he won his 300th game with the Cubs, right? Whereas he could have won all 300 games for the Cubs.
Yeah, it feels good for about, oh my God. Yeah, it feels good for about 48 hours. And it does. It does work. It does work. But yeah, I don't think that this brand of Cubs fans, to their credit, is going to fall for that unless Jake Arrieta is good. Like, if they do allow fans at Wrigley Field, every time Jake Arrieta makes an appearance, whether he's just doing a bullpen or warming up, he's going to get cheered. I mean, he was great with the Cubs. He's associated with greatness, so he will always be appreciated. But if he goes out there and gives up 5 runs in the second inning, puts up a crooked number, then the fans at Wrigley are not going to be as kind as they once were to Jake Arrieta. Do I think that this move was actually a publicity stunt? No, I don't. I don't, because there's not going to be fans, right, until maybe August. So if there were going to be fans in the stands and there was some reason you needed to attract fans to come to the ballpark every fifth day, then I would think that maybe it would have something to do with the feel-goodness. But I really don't think so. That's why I do think that this is just another guy. This is just a name that people know, as opposed to Cole Stewart, you know, or Trevor Williams or Shelby Miller. And he's probably better than those guys.
All these guys with 2 last names.
Yeah, exactly. So he just kind of goes into the pile, and he's probably a notch better than those guys. This is just a guy that not only Cubs fans know, but they know really well. So on the overall, if this was a normal season, pandemic-free, then I might say, and if the Cubs had been just god-awful the last few years, which they haven't been, they've been fine, then I would say, okay, they're doing what they got to do. They know they stink. So it's not like a Bulls thing where they brought back Dwayne Wade and tried to do that whole thing with Jimmy Butler. Like that felt more like straight up blatant, let's get somebody everybody knows and try it this way, and then this does. I don't think it's that. Do you? You think it's like
I don't feel good? I don't know that it's I don't think it's totally pandering, but I do think that's part of it. And I do think that it's a feel good moment. I want to believe that they could look at video of Jake Arrieta and that he would have the trust in this organization and listen to whatever they want to suggest, whatever corrections they have. I mean, Jake's a guy who's always been in great shape, but he has not finished either of the last 2 seasons. He's been hurt. He finished on the DL. He just was not able to stay healthy. That's a problem. That's what are you getting there? How are you gonna get through a season that you believe is some kind of competitive season? I mean, we're looking at, are they gaslighting us? Which organization in Chicago is gaslighting you more, the Bears or the Cubs?
Well, Ooh.
The Cubs talk about competitive, and the Bears are saying, did we, you know, Ted Phillips, which is just a blithering idiot. Did we get the quarterback position exactly right? No. I mean, they're treating their fans for stupid. That's the way he comes off. And they're bringing back the same guys who brought you this miserable play at the most important position in sports, arguably. And they're telling you, we can do this, we can win, we're going to collaborate. So there's a sense of gaslighting with the Bears. A sense of gaslighting with the Cubs. They talked about competing for the division, not for World Series anymore. And I thought that was the barometer after what happened in 2016, actually after when Theo got here. Which one's gaslighting us more, Mark?
Yeah, probably the Cubs. I mean, like, because they're not, like, well, because they're not, they won't say that they're rebuilding. And they're just like, all their moves are so confusing and a little bit inconsistent, and it just makes you shake your head. And they haven't even done, like, the biggest move hasn't even occurred yet, and that is Chris Bryant. And what becomes of him? Is he on this roster when the season starts? Is he gone by the trade deadline? When I think about the Cubs and I'm jotting thoughts down, they've talked about him being gone so much that I don't even really think about him as a part of the future of the Cubs. I don't think about Chris Bryant grounding grounders at third base or in right field or whatever outfield position they might have him in. So it's a state of confusion and, for the first time in a while, a lack of transparency in at least saying the words that, you know, we're taking a year off, and I think that Cubs fans could probably handle it. So I don't know. And the text says here, sorry, Grody, you're wrong. This is a Cub fans stupid move. So I don't know, is that text you're saying Cubs fans are stupid? See that? I think that there was a time when Cubs fans fell for everything. That feel-good stuff worked. Really. I mean, seriously, I was probably part of that brigade as I was growing up. There were a lot of things that were fun about the Cubs even when they weren't winning. But now the Cubs fans have had a taste, and the taste was, you know, the two golden years, if you want to talk about that, the golden years of Cubs baseball, were 15 and 16. Those were the years. 15 was a blast until the Mets, and then 16 was coast to coast. So now that they have that taste, there is greed, and greed is good, and I hope that Cubs, I actually trust that Cubs fans will continue to comport themselves in that way. I love it. I love that Cubs fans are pissed off when they don't make it to the World Series now and that they're greedy for more. It's awesome because Cubs fans were always weak. And again, I was part of it, so I feel like I could say that.
Yeah, but you know who else is part of it? And maybe you added some insight. I did not expect this, but that really leads to the idea of Tom Ricketts was just as much potentially, because he was in that era where you said Cubs fans fell for everything.
Yes, he
was. He sold his dad on giving the money. The dad, they finish last every year and they sell every seat. And Joe Ricketts says, in between Islamophobic emails, Joe Ricketts says, well, now you got my attention. That's a business. And Tom Ricketts was there when he was, if what you say is true, Cub fans would buy everything. And they bought a lot, that's for sure, because they bought a lot of tickets. Then maybe he thinks, hey, it worked on me. Maybe it'll work on them during this time. We say we're going to compete. Because remember, November, he famously said, I don't think anybody's tearing anything down. And
yep.
Then they let go the guy who should have won the Cy Young. And they bring back, so they at one point in time, they signed Darvish instead of Arrieta. And now they're bringing back Arrieta after they lost Darvish. And this would be a move somebody shaped by Cubs in the 90s, Cub fans buying everything, would think, hey, maybe this will work. It worked on me.
Two things. So yeah. I'm glad you brought up Darvish, because really that's the answer. Like the fact that they traded a guy who could have been, as you said, maybe should have been the Cy Young Award winner last year, and what, considering what they got back for Darvish or didn't get back for you, Darvish, that's the direction, right? That's it. You gave up a ace starting pitcher. When organizations do that, that tells you everything. So maybe I should just stay at that point. And the other thing I wanted to say was, 2016. Ready? Jake Arrieta. This is, we're bringing it back to love for Jake Arrieta. Okay.
I'm all for this. So, I'm all for his 2015 and 16.
Here's a feel-good moment, right? So I can't remember. I think it was in San Diego. No, it wasn't San Diego because we wouldn't have been on a bus because the hotel was literally attached to the stadium. Oh, that was so cool. Let's just make up a city. It was Pittsburgh. And I'm on the bus, on the team bus with, a few players and Len Casper. And we had some time. So I go, hey, Len, I'm going to go over to Starbucks and get a bunch of food and coffee and stuff. Do you want something? I ask a couple more people. And they're like, yeah. So I make a run. I go to Starbucks and I get all this stuff. And the barista says, she goes, it's all taken care of. It's all paid for. I look back about seven people in line. There's Jake Arrieta, and he just winks at me. And I said, thanks, man. It's Jake Arrieta buying me Starbucks. Just a feel-good moment. Yep.
Wow. The two of you guys, you know, that was post-Cy Young for the two of you. There was a moment. You guys had a
There was a moment.
Did you save the cup? Did you save the cup?
I did not save the cup. I
haven't signed the cup.
Yeah, no, I wasn't that, I wasn't that weird. So I just kind of winked back at him and said, thank you, thumbs up. And, I told Len Casper he owes Jake Arrieta, and that was that. So
you know what? It really, there should be a show called Starbucks Starstruck, because that's where Theo Epstein was first spotted. Remember that?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, right? And then you got this, and I remember Len Casper telling, I want to say it was in a Starbucks, telling me a story about Jake Arrieta, hey, he ran into him at a Starbucks, and what he came away with was Arrieta saying he's going to throw another no-hitter, and he may have done it like 20 minutes later or a week later. And it was just, it was something like that. Len has a story, and a man just of the confidence he reeks, and that may play out. But there's a really, if the Cubs are banking on that, the problem is you have to go out and do it. You can't be Jake Arrieta, all the swagger, all the guys are going to follow me because of what I did in 2016. That's 5 years ago.
Yeah, ain't working.
And you have to do it. I remember talking to a hockey executive that your best player has to be your leader. Your leader has to be your best player. Because if your leader is not your best player, and he made it a hockey analogy, he said, a guy stands up, and somebody else sitting down the row says, I got 30 goals, you got 4. Sit down and shut up. And there's a truth in that. It's what you do. And it's more than pitching hurt. It's pitching well. And that's what... All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I guess I should tell you what we're going to do today. Should I do that, Mark? It's not really a surprise.
No, I like how we've had the cold opening here. This has been great. Live from New York, it's Rosenblum and Grody.
Saturday.
And now
Suckage.
Here's the cast. Yeah.
Right. Awesome. So we have Jamal Collier, covers the Bulls for the Tribune. We'll be here.
And the Rockets red glare. The bombs bursting in air. Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Come on, I and the three of you guys, you put one thing, you're out of this game. Now I run a clean game here. I have any trouble, I'll suspend you. I'm looking at a song!
Yeah, that's from Slapshot. That is listening to the bleeping song. That is because the Jamal and Deontay Prince of the Tribune had a real talk, and it came up with the anthem was, people in Dallas didn't know it wasn't being played for 13 games. Hey, there's no anthem. And then when the NBA found out, yeah, you're going to play it. And so there's that. And the Bulls played last night. They got pants. They showed you what they're the JV team in the NBA, and they showed you what a varsity team looks like. So we'll talk to Jamal Collier about that. And because of what the national anthem has become, we will talk to the man who pretty much invented, perfected, is at the center of what the national anthem is in Chicago. We'll talk to Wayne Messmer at noon. We tried to get all the Waynes we could, and we had Stifler call Wayne Randazzo, And he thought he got outwained when he saw that Wayne Messmer would be our guest, and he tweeted it out. And it's like, dude, we called you, and you don't have time, but you have time to tweet, you little snotty little Steve Cohen employee. So,
man, what did I mean? Wait. I missed the tweet. So, wait, Randazzler shot us down? What's the deal here, Wayne?
Yeah, he shot us down. He doesn't have time for us. He big times us, but he's got time to tweet snark. And I just said, well, yeah, apparently you got a whole bunch of Wayne Anoia that you've been replaced, but you were asked, and we could still make time for you to talk about the Chris Bryant rumors and Steve Cohen walking around Major League Baseball. He looked at like, got it, need it, want it, we'll buy it, got it, want it. And he's just buying everything. Anyways.
Okay. So, all right, Wayne. See how he is.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. He used to like being on the score, but now he's just big timing us. He's all sort of got that snotty New York attitude, which I guess is redundant.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I don't know. We'll come back. As long as nobody important listened to this show, we'll get to do the next segment. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I don't think anybody's tearing anything down.
Well, that gets back to the question. Which team is gaslighting its fans more? The Cubs, that was Tom Ricketts, chairman of the Cubs, and or the Bears with Ted Phillips saying, did we get the quarterback position exactly right? No, exactly.
We think the foundation is in place.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. So I'm Steve Rosenblum, he's Mark Rohde, and nothing says Saturday Suckage more than figuring out whether the Cubs or Bears are gaslighting their fans more. I don't know. Mark, you say the Cubs, and yet they have You think it's the Cubs because this might be their biggest move? Although I think you're right. They're going to, if it comes down to trading Bryant, if they keep Bryant, then don't they have to trade somebody to get a real number two pitcher? Do you think Kyle Hendricks followed by Zach Davies, who is Kyle Hendricks light, is that the way you lead off a rotation? But that's where they are, right?
It's such a great question. That's what I've been saying. Like, it's just not, there's just nothing. You know, it's Hendricks, and who doesn't like the development of Alec Mills? It's been fun. The guy threw a no-hitter. It's going to be the most forgettable no-hitter in Cubs history. Because it was just, even if you watch the broadcast of that game, it wasn't really, it was like, oh my God, this guy's throwing a no-hitter. And nobody really knows how he's doing it. So, I don't know, maybe there is more development in him. But yeah, it's Hendricks, and then what else? And that's the way you have to look at their starting staff until there is a number two or a guy that you know for sure of consequence. We're going to say that a lot.
Yeah.
Then you can't. You can't really look at the Cubs to do anything legitimate this year. Like I said, I love the Jake Arrieta story is terrific, and it's going to be great for 48 hours. I might even tell more Jake Arrieta stories to warm everybody's hearts, but I also know
I think people
that Arrieta's
that
a four
now.
Or five. Yeah. They do or they
people
don't.
People want to hear that now. Do you have a handy Jake Arrieta story?
Tell
us about the time you both did Pilates.
Yeah, well, actually, the best part about Jake Arrieta, this is pre-Clubhouse, when they, you know, redid the whole clubhouse and it became, you know, this beautiful workout facility and everything. Before then, we used to all assemble in this dreary, bad basement of a press room. I'm sure you've been in there, Steve, many times. You remember, mm-hmm. right? You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah,
that basement,
yeah, the cave. The cave
that where the Cubs would conduct all their press conferences, and literally, you know, pipes ahead of you, there would be dripping occasionally. It was dreary. It smelled like your basement or your shed. It was that bad. And this is not hyperbole. I am not exaggerating. But for some reason, Jake Arrieta moved his Pilates machine into that room, probably because there wasn't enough space to put it anywhere else because the facilities at Wrigley Field sucked until they didn't. And we would be conducting our pregame pressers with Joe Maddon or whomever was the manager. And, well, Joe Maddon. And Jake Arrieta would literally be working out on a Pilates machine during the press conferences. Like, it was like, hey, guys, don't mind me. And, okay, we won't mind you as long as you don't mind us because we're conducting a press conference. And you know what? We might even be asking about you, which is really awkward. Hey, what happened to Jake Arrieta in the sixth inning? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was another great Jake Arrieta moment.
Hearing those
Starbucks.
Stories about him working on doing Pilates always reminded me of that Super Bowl ad, Terry Tate, office linebacker. Because Jake was so cut, and it's just like, okay, he's gonna be the ace, and he's gonna go out there, he's gonna take the ball and go nine innings in a playoff game, and he's gonna be the bouncer. So just watch what you ask. I love the idea that he's doing Pilates here.
Right, but these are the stories you're supposed to tell after the guy retires, and they're right,
well,
they're coming back to Wrigley Field. Yeah. So unfortunately, the realism now is that Arrieta, again, I don't know if it's truly of consequence. You say it is because it's $6 million, but when I say of consequence, it has to be at least the guy that you put as your 1-2 or 3 starter. I don't think that's what Arrieta is at this point, at least not now.
No, I agree. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Bulls got ruined in the second half by a team that plays in the adult league. I don't know why the Bulls think they can play in the adult league, but I guess you have to. You have to get kicked like that to learn how to get some respect in the adult league. We'll talk to Jamal Collier, who covers the Bulls for the Tribune, about the Bulls after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Archie Diacono in front for 3, no. Rebound Felicio, ball game over. And the Bulls fall to the Clips and drop the season series 2-0. Final 125-106, LAC.
Highlight courtesy of us. the less than enthused, and understandably so, Chuck Swirsky, talking about the Bulls' loss to the Clippers last night, 125-106. The Bulls got ruined in the second half. They kept it close in the first half. Then they found out they were playing a team in an adult league, and the Bulls do not belong in the adult league. And here's how much you should know about they don't, what adults do and what JV teams like the Bulls do. Kawhi Leonard limped off the court early on, and between the time that he limped off and limped back on, the best player on the court, Kawhi Leonard, was not on the court, and the Clippers ran off 12 straight points. So there's your varsity. Even the backups on the varsity know how to play better than the starters on the JV Bulls. So that's my view. Let's see, as we go to the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at alpamonteford.com. Here's Jamal Collier of the Tribune talking about the Bulls. So what did you make of last night's experience with the Bulls and the Clippers, Jamal?
Yeah, I had to write a story about it, and the only thing that I had was, yeah, the Clippers are better than the Bulls. I don't think that we really need it last night. But, you know, as you said, at Kawhi, when he limped back onto the court, was able to pretty much do whatever he want. You know, the Bulls kind of gave the bulky LA teams a run for their money that first kind of go around. I think that's when you first started kind of feel encouraged if you have been about this team. And I think the next two times playing the LA teams when they kind of just got smacked, kind of put them back to remind you like, okay, there is a very clear gap here between where the Bulls are and where the top teams in the league are.
Yeah, and I think Stacey King said something really poignant during the broadcast last night. He said that the Clippers took the Bulls seriously, and that is so true, because sometimes great teams aren't going to do that to a kind of unknown team like the Bulls. But, Jamal, I think that this is one of those games, too, and I love watching the development of Patrick Williams, and I keep everything in context, but this was kind of the, for him, you know, maybe symbolic of the Bulls ain't there yet because he had a rough night, didn't he? I mean, it was like his offense was inconsequential last night because of who he was guarding.
Yeah, and you know, I think that is, you know, ultimately when you have to spend so much energy on one end of the floor kind of chasing around Kawhi, and he wasn't very successful that time either trying to defend Kawhi. But, yeah, it was just sort of, especially the last couple of games with, you know, Markkanen out and Otto out and some of the scoring out, he had kind of sort of picked up his offense. And was kind of curious there. And you're right, just was sort of a non-factor on that side of the floor. One thing I thought that was interesting that he said after the game that I thought was a little bit bizarre at first, but, you know, he sort of swore by it, is that he said, you know, obviously players watch film after games and sort of break down opponents. And he's been admittedly a huge Kawhi Leonard fan. But he says, you know, games against elite players like this, LeBron, Giannis, you know, he watches that film. He says sometimes they're 10 to 20 times. We kind of clarified and said, wait, did you mean actually 10 to 20 times? And he did, which I'm sort of still very fascinated by and curious exactly how that works, you know, how that breakdown goes, but cause it seems a little excessive. But, you know, I think that is a kid who wants to grow, wants to figure out and learn from it. But you're right, 20-some games into his career, just, you know, this is just not going to be there against one of the best players in the world.
Our guest is Jamal Collier. He covers the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking Bulls here on The Score. In sticking with Patrick Williams, he shot 1 of 5, 3 points, 35 minutes. And this quote from your piece today, Jamal, we knew Kawhi was going to come out more aggressive, and he did, picking his spots, where to shoot, a lot of down screens, cross screens for him, a lot of ball screens. We knew that was coming. I think I could have done better. Energy defensively, just making it tough on him. He was a little bit too comfortable out there. That's on me. So when you talk about 20 games, has he hit a rookie wall because that's part of a college season? Or
you know,
am
what?
I misreading that quote?
Yeah, I think just he was saying, I think, a little bit that he thought he could have defended Kawhi better and maybe just disrupted him a little bit more. You know, I thought maybe about a week or two ago, I can't remember exactly what his scoring totals were. We kind of had the first couple of quiet games from him. I think Billy played him maybe for only like 10 minutes in one of those games, you know, maybe late last month. And I kind of thought that you started to see signs that everything, and then Billy actually said this as well, that things were just maybe overwhelming was the word that Billy used, but I just think that everything had been so hard so fast. I mean, you think about it, the draft was November, I think like 18th, so we're still talking about 2 months. You know, two or 3 months here since the Bulls actually selected this guy, who once again didn't start in college. So I think that just everything on top of each other, and the NBA is so different, the schedule compared to, say, college, where you're playing once or twice a week or whatever, and now these guys are basically every other day, sort of the way that the NBA schedule is sort of broken up lately. You know, so I thought that he was hitting a bit of a rookie wall. I think he sort of rebounded a little bit nicely the last week. I would say last night was a little bit more about the opponent and about Kawhi sort of, I think, also having a game of experience against Patrick Williams, was able to sort of adjust and get to his spots. And was just a little bit was more aggressive overall with Paul George not in the game to sort of take over scoring. So I would say last night a little bit more I would tilt toward the opponent being the reason for it as opposed to the rookie wall. But that's something I'm going to be watching because you're right. He is getting right up to that. The kind of max college games, and these games are coming fast and furious. They got 4 games next week as well.
Let's keep going with the slump cliches, because there's a rookie wall, and then there had been, with Kobe White, a sophomore slump. But the last 2 games, you know, he had 30 in the game previous to last night, and then last night, Kobe White 17, but there was an authority about him with that one drive and the one-hand dunk, which was his first dunk of the season. We saw him driving more. He's played with a better freedom in the last 2 games. I don't know if that continues, because I think he's been a confused player throughout this year. What have you thought about Kobe White this year, and in particular the last 2 games? Has he been freed up?
Yeah, you know, I've also thought Kobe's been a very confused player, and I think this is kind of what we're going to get this year from him. I sort of expected, you know, as the Bulls are sort of putting him, just going to be baptism by fire a little bit. Like, he's going to be put in spots that he just isn't comfortable in, hasn't done, and I think there's going to be stretches, times where he's going to look pretty bad at it, as we've seen, and there's going to be times where when he sort of finds his grooves and gets into a spot where you're going to sort of see the flashes that you know, remind you why he was such a high draft pick. I think the last 2 days they've moved him off the ball a little bit more. I think that Sato's play, as he's gotten back from the virus absence and getting back in there, I think Sato had 17-7 off the bench as well last night. You know, I think that that's going to help as far as just having another distributor on the floor. Obviously, as Zach continues to become more comfortable with playmaking. You know, I don't think I've seen anything with Kobe the last 2 games that has sort of, for me, indicated that he's turned some huge corner, because I think I also remember the other 15 games of the game before it.
Never mind that.
But, you know, I think that he is a streaky player. I think that's one thing last year, a streaky shooter. And I think that as you see when his shot is falling and everything else is sort of clicking, you all of a sudden sort of get a chance to see the more complete player. And when, you know, maybe those first couple of threes or couple of shots don't hit, I think that's when, for whatever reason, I think that everything else sort of starts to fall apart and he sort of gets lost a little bit on the floor. So, you know, I think we're going to be riding a Kobe White wave pretty much all season. And I think that at the end of it, the Bulls at least are going to hope that you got more good than bad there.
Well, our guest is Jamal Crawford. Oh, yeah, they can use him. Jamal Collier.
I got some minutes off the bench if you guys need me.
That's right, yeah.
Well, and that's what Kobe White could become, the next Jamal Crawford. Who knows?
He doesn't want to be a sixth man. He doesn't want to be known for having the most bench points. So the way Billy Donovan started this was he approached it. I got a whole bunch of different exhibition lineups. I don't know who these guys are. I want to find out. But also gave them a chance to show the coach who they were. And that has proceeded, I think, and there have been some lineup changes, some forced by injury. What do you think of Billy Donovan's coaching, and what is going on now? What are 20 games in? What are his strengths? What are the differences? Why can we expect him to coach this, to make them better through his coaching?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think that right now the lineups, again, are a little bit limited, I think, just because of the sort of injuries in the front court. And now you kind of just going to have some combinations where, like, you know, it was Felicio and Denzel or so were on the court. And I'm just like, oh, no, I had a flashback last year with a bunch of Luke Kornet minutes. Which, you know, I think that what I like about what Billy has done is he's not been afraid, like you said, to experiment with different lineups, different combinations. I think he's went small a lot more often. And, you know, just the way the offense is clicking, I think, is an indication of, you know, the team was the last 2 years have been one of the top five worst. Like last year, they were second to last in the NBA. Top five worst offense. And basically, he's just sort of organized the pieces, played that at center more. And, you know, all of a sudden, I think they've been in the top half of the league for most of it. And they were up to 11th at one point. So I think that those are things that I think are encouraging. If you're looking at what for Billy, I think he's going to let these young players sort of live through, you know, the starting lineup. I think has been one for me that I have not loved having the starting lineup being as young as it is. And it's, you know, been very bad and you know, being outscored virtually every game and kind of hurting the Bulls early on before guys got hurt. You know, but I think that that's part of it is they're going to try to balance winning with kind of letting these guys figure it out as they go along. And I think that that is, as you kind of pointed out, like, you know, he's sort of letting these guys still get, you know, get into rhythms, figure out where they're comfortable, figure out what things that, you know, they may not be able to do or things they're going to have to sort of push and be able to do for this team to win in the next couple of years. So, you know, this year for me, when I look at the Bulls, I've been saying it that it's kind of a year you got to figure some stuff out. I think when you had the last year and change that you sort of threw away with the coach that you had and sort of the way the operation was, you know, you got to figure out which of these young guys are going to be able to play, which of these young guys are going to be able to stick around. So for your next good team that you think is going to be playoff competitive and not just kind of competing for the outside of the play-in tournament, you got to figure out which one of these guys are going to be able to stick around for that.
Do you think Arturs Karnišovas knows yet? Do you think, based on what you've heard from him, seen on the floor, because you know there's got to be collaboration going on, do you think he knows who he wants and who he doesn't want on this roster yet?
That's a really good question. I would say that I haven't gotten a great sense of that. I would say they have an idea, and I think that they know. I think they have an idea, maybe of sort of who they like and who they rank at or a little bit higher. Like I would, you know, it also feels like all of these guys, you know, are not on I think somebody asked me recently in a mailbag on the Tribune, you know, which three players would you bet would be around for in 3 years from now?
It's a great question.
It was the hardest question I heard in a while because I was like, I think I would take the field. I would take, you know, Patrick, who's under contract from there. Other than that, I think I said Devin Dotson because of cop-out. And
who?
I don't remember who my other guy. I think Devin Dotson, the two-way player. I figured maybe he'll get a backup point guard spot at some point. And I don't remember who my third one even was. I may have thrown.
That's so hard. That's a great question,
but, yeah,
man. Wow.
But that's kind of the point here is I do think that they're going to let it play out and anybody at any point, but anybody here over the next course of the year between now and next trade deadline, I don't have a lot of confidence in any of these guys, honestly, that they're for sure going to be on the team, probably outside of the guy they just drafted.
All right, I think Jake Arrieta will, because that's the way the Cubs work. Jamal,
well,
thank you for your time.
They'll bring somebody back. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sure. It'll be Robert Parrish. All right. Thank you for your time, Jamal. We look forward to talking to you as the season progresses.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, that's Jamal Collier of the Tribune talking about the Bulls. We're going to take a break. We didn't get to talk to him about the National Anthem, but we'll talk to – because the National Anthem – came up in a controversial way. Yet again, it has been somewhat of a political issue, and it used to be just a good time rocking and rolling. We'll talk to a man who was at the center of that organ loft when it became a thing, and we'll get his views on an anniversary that just passed of a memorable national anthem and where a simple song has turned. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Wayne Mesmer is next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.